John Burton.
It is hour number two. We're hanging out right here in the Strike and Spare Family Fun Center Studios. I told you we had a hat trick of Top Chef guest Tim Corbin last hour, 10:40, Coach Jeff Fisher, and joining us now, the voice of the Atlanta Falcons, Wes Durham. Good morning, Wes.
Hey, Wes.
Hey, Pogue. How you guys doing?
We're doing good, man.
Our city's obviously very excited to have Julio. They've been buzzing. A lot of chatter on Twitter. I guess the question is, you know, what you give up for what you're getting, right, Wes? I mean, 32 years old, coming off an injury. Based on what you know, how much fuel is left in Julio's tank, you think?
I think you just hit it on the head. I mean, when healthy, I still think he's one of the best, if not the best, wide receiver in the National Football League. The question is, from a health perspective, where will he be? Without knowing a lot about what's happened this offseason, typically he's gone to California for about 6 weeks to get his body in shape to kind of get ready to play. He's got a team out there of guys who help him, and he does work out a little bit here in Atlanta. And then he and Ryan would do kind of like a conglomerate deal with other guys. Even during the lockout years, they did that. They'd either go to Florida or California. One year, Ryan flipped the bill, flew them all down there. So I think that he does everything you need to be a professional. I think he can still have 100 catch year. I still think he can be a double-figure touchdown guy for you. But I think what you're going to find out in Nashville is he's going to make A.J. Brown and a lot of other guys on your team, including some you probably have seen grow up through the program there in Tennessee, a lot better. Because he's going to take 1.5 on every snap. I mean, it's just going to happen. You're going to see a lot of stuff open up in the rest of the offense, and Ryan Tannehill will get the ball to him. But I think you're going to see a ton of guys also benefit from the fact that monster is either in the boundary or to the field, and depending on which way the defense elects to attack, I think he's going to have a huge impact on your team statistically. John, to answer your question, he can still help you, but he's going to allow other guys to have great years too.
Well, and it seems he has the disposition, Wes, to be a number two. If he was going to go somewhere and to a contender, it was highly unlikely he would go there to be the one, because most of those contenders already have established ones. But it just seems like with him working out with Derrick Henry, the way A.J. Brown just gushes about Julio Jones, it just seems like, and you've obviously dealt with him in his career, it just seems like he has the perfect disposition to fit into that role.
He knows what it's like to be a professional. He understands the commitment level it takes to be a pro. And he's to the point in his career where, and Greg, you've heard me talk about this. Remember when Tony Gonzalez came here, I told you Tony Gonzalez made everybody in the organization better, right? Not just the guys on his team. I mean, hell, the radio announcer wanted to do a better job after watching practice. I mean, and the equipment guys were better off for Tony Gonzalez. Tony Gonzalez caught 100 balls before every practice and about 50 balls and worked on blocking steps after practice. So, I mean, and he wears a gold jacket. Julio Jones can wear a gold jacket because of what Tony Gonzalez taught him and what Roddy White, who retired a few years ago, taught him. I think Julio Jones can make the Titans a better organization. I think Julio Jones can influence A.J. Brown and Derrick Henry and, all these other young guys you've got on that team. I think he makes you a better football team. Now, how much is he going to impact the game? Until he proves he doesn't need another a half guy over the top of him, he's going to have 1.5 over there, because they know with Ryan Tannehill's acumen and improvement the last couple of years, and certainly the change of address, you guys can say this better than I can, has helped him more than people imagine, right?
Yep.
I think that Ryan Tannehill has this weapon out there, and he may not be a number one, but he is arguably the most explosive guy you've got on your roster at times. And, when healthy, as I said at the top, he can absolutely dynamically change the way your football team looks. There's no doubt.
Voice of the Falcons, Wes Durham, with us on the F&M Bank phone line. Wes, this is not a rebuild situation, though, with the Falcons. I mean, you're looking at Calvin Ridley, certainly Kyle Pitts, what he's...
Well, now, Pogue, you're not calling it a rebuild. You're not living here.
but is it then?
Well, first of all, I don't know how you... And I'm, you know, in covering the league nearly 20 years, and you guys have covered it just as long, I'm sure. I differentiate when you run up against the cap. Do you call it a rebuild? Is it automatically a rebuild when you run up against the cap? I don't think so. To your point, Atlanta's going to return 14 starters from their final regular season game to this year's team. Okay? So, I mean, that's not a rebuild in my mind. Does Atlanta have some areas they need to address? Absolutely. They got to run the ball better. I don't care if you swapped off Julio's guaranteed money for the run game. You got to figure out how to run the football. And, you know, of all the things they did, you got to get a left guard situation worked out. Now, Josh Andrews, they think, can help you there. But it's not a full rebuild, or I don't think Arthur Smith and Terry Fontenot would be here. I think they see guys that can help them. Calvin Ridley's there. Russell Gage is there. And then you drafted that, you know, Predator and put him in the slot. I mean, Kyle Pitts is going to be a monster in this league.
Oh, yeah. No doubt.
I mean, he's going to be a major problem. And just like Julio or Ryan Tannehill is going to benefit from Julio Jones, Kyle Pitts is going to benefit from Matt Ryan. And, you know, when you have 10 straight 4,000-yard seasons like Ryan has had, you know, that there's a major, major deal there. And Matt is a guy who – you know, everybody starts doubting. Well, he's been doubted since he was a freshman at Boston College. I mean, Greg, you remember this. The argument in Atlanta and when they drafted him in 2008 was, do we take Glenn Dorsey or Matt Ryan? Well, I'm sure as hell glad they took Matt Ryan. I mean, I'm sure Glenn's financially set and everything else, but my God, had they not taken Matt Ryan and, you know, heaven forbid he goes somewhere else in this division and be wearing out Atlanta, that would be – it'd be just a nightmare, but that's what I think you're getting. You're going to get Matt Ryan with a bit of a chip on his shoulder, and you're going to get an enthusiastic Kyle Pitts, an enthusiastic head coach, and Terry Fontenot, a general manager who's ready to kind of write his own story too as a GM for the first time.
Yeah, Wes, wanted to ask you about Arthur Smith. He was kind of a low-key, laid-back guy when he was here as the OC. What are your impressions of him so far as the head coach down there with the Falcons?
Low-key and laid-back. you know, I don't think he has to change personality. I really don't. And it's funny because, you know, I knew of him as a football player at North Carolina, had kind of followed his coaching journey a little bit, and incredibly impressed with the resume he built, especially in Nashville, with the variety of administrations he was around, right? And you guys saw him change positions and kind of stay through a lot of different head coaches. And I like the background, and I like the way he talks about it. I mean, you know, a lot of people around here are like, well, why do you say he didn't care about Julio Jones because he never coached him? And I said, well, he's just telling you the truth. I mean, he can't worry about players he didn't coach. And so I think he's going to be fine here. Is there going to be a curve? Sure. There always is a curve with first-year guys who are head coaches for the first time. Then you double it with the GM for the first time. Well, we've seen it work here before. We saw it work with Mike Smith and Thomas Dimitroff. And, you know, Pogue doesn't like me to say this very much, John, but I always say you can't write the script at the end, right? A lot of it, for all the careers that end great, there's several others that flame out one other way or another. And sure. I think I'm excited about Arthur and Terry. I think his personality helps him. Now, he's not going to light up a room or light up a stadium, but I think he's locked in. And right now, that's what this team needs. This team needs locked in. You know, we've heard all the coach speak and the fast and physical and the brotherhood and all that.
Taking out kneecaps and all that stuff, right?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I'll let those guys handle all that stuff in Detroit and other places. But in Atlanta, we need a guy that's locked in. We need a guy that wants to come here, grind it, and win. Mm-hmm. And, again, I'll go back to the fact we haven't run it very well in this town the last 3 years, 4 years. Really, since the year after the Super Bowl, we haven't run it well. And I think in a lot of ways, Arthur may surprise people when we get to the regular season, but I think they're going to find a way to run the football and still, you know, and still spin it down the field with Ryan at the drive.
And the talk about the dynamic with him. Obviously, Arthur coming from offensive coordinator there from the offensive side of the ball. We'll talk about Dean Pease in just a moment. But his with offensive coordinator Dave Ragone there, how sure. Just that dynamic? Because it's certainly going to be Arthur Smith's offense.
Oh, it is going to be Arthur Smith's offense. But I also think, too, Greg, you look at his staff. I mean, he has working knowledge of Dave Ragone, right? I mean, he understands Dave Ragone. And then I think the secret sauce here, and you guys can tell me this is right or wrong, I think the secret sauce is getting Dean Pease. I mean, I really do.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, we agree.
But, yeah, because it allows him then to put his offense in without having a lot of concern about what's going to happen defensively, right? Because you're bringing a mastermind in to run the defense. And remember, it's a defense that's almost having to completely rebuild the secondary because – if we use rebuild and salary cap in the same terminology, the best place, the most impactful spot that happened was the inability to re-sign Ricardo Allen, Keanu Neal, and DeMonte KZ in the secondary. The fact you lost those as salary cap casualties here is a real issue. And, you know, we'll see how it goes. But Dean gets a really active front. You get an inspired Dante Fowler. Grady Jarrett's a Pro Bowler. You guys know that. And you get Deion Jones still here as one of your linebackers. And so I think there's some real value to what's going to happen up front. And quite frankly, I think that could be the surprise side of the football when we get cranked up this fall.
But I got the feel from you, Wes, from the top of the talk here this morning that maybe all of Atlanta doesn't feel that way. It's like, hey, you trade Julio, we're giving up for this year.
Yeah, I got a buddy I grew up with in upstate New York. He's a diehard Falcons fan, and he is he's
cashed out. Huh?
Yeah, he cashed out, dude. He's out. Yeah, I mentioned the Falcons to him. He's like, I don't want to talk about it.
Well, you know, and I'll lean it up like this. They didn't have a choice at the end of it. The Julio situation was just a completely different dynamic, okay?
Right.
I mean, the story, you know, if you'd asked me the week after the Super Bowl what was going to happen, I would have said, you know, the chances are relatively remote that he was going to be here. I just felt like the way it looked, the way it felt, the whole change. And then when the story came out that he asked for the trade in March, I was not surprised at all. I kind of felt like the race had been run here. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you're looking at, what, 20-some games in the last 2 years, 9 touchdowns. You know, there was the situation in 2019 where the contract kind of came into fruition and the numbers started to be put down on paper. And let's be honest, and it was written about in The Athletic, and I don't know if you guys read it up there prior to the trade, but this was a contract that wasn't good for either side when it was done. It just wasn't. It didn't work well for Julio and his team, and it wasn't going to work well for Atlanta on the books. And it came at a time when things got said and certain things, and then there was kind of a holdout without saying it was a holdout and everything else. But it doesn't impact the whole roster. And this is still the NFL. This is why everybody's attracted to this thing 300 and some days a year, is because – until we start playing this thing, everybody kind of has a chance, right?
Yep.
I think it's just one of those deals where, you know, in all honesty, it's going to be interesting to watch not only in Atlanta, to John's point, he's got friends that have already cashed it out, but also in Nashville. I think there'll be a lot of people here who will want to follow Julio and see how it is. But at the end of the day, we all know how this is going to end 8-10 years from now. 8-10 years from now, this guy will be one of the great Atlanta Falcons of all time. He holds nearly every receiving record the franchise has. And, you know, I don't know that anybody else will wear 11. Let's put it that way, at least for a long, long time, and rightly so. Just like I don't think anybody else will wear 2 down the road, because I think Ryan and Jones, linked together or not, at the end, were two guys that changed the entire dynamic of what professional football in this market's been about. And, you know, it's been a blessing, and I feel highly favored to have had the opportunity to call him.
Yeah, I mean, you know, given the Michael Vick mess that preceded Matt Ryan, the fact that he was able to come in and kind of, like you said, stabilize the franchise, because I would imagine that was a really crazy time at that time, and he came in and just, all he did was win games and just, you know, went about his business, you know?
Well, and you're right, and Greg's probably heard me say this more than once. They did a 30 for 30 on Michael Vick, and they still didn't tell the whole story.
That was a damn good 30 for 30, too. It was a two-parter.
Look, it's 2007 was you literally showed up every Sunday and going, what's going to happen this week?
Yeah.
I mean, because that's just what happened from the time, you know, Bobby Petrino was named the coach to Michael being here and then gone. Then the opening a training camp. I mean, Barnum and Bailey didn't stage circuses like we had at Flowery Ranch that summer. I think there's a lot that's gone into pro football emerging in this market. And Greg, you know this. I mean, pro football in your market's not that old. And relatively speaking, it's 55 years this fall.
Right.
And for you guys, it's less, obviously, because of the way the franchise developed. But still, when you think about it, the good years, you know, they don't leverage the balance of the years here with good years. They leverage them with tough years. So Atlanta has embraced football really since Blank bought the team, and the deep care about the team is now mixed in being one of the top eight media markets in the country. So we got fans from everywhere here. And so the Falcons' emergence has been tied into those expectations. And then, you know, you get players like I had a guy at an event I was at the last couple of days say, well, this is just like Dominique Wilkins and Deion Sanders. Yeah, but I don't really remember Dominique Wilkins as a Clipper, a Celtic, or a Spur. I remember him as an Atlanta Hawk, and I wasn't here then. But I would say that Julio's going to have some good years in Nashville, but the balance of his career will be as an Atlanta Falcon.
Yeah, when he puts on that gold jersey, the gold jacket.
Gold
jersey. That's what I wear.
I look like a jersey on you.
Yeah. Wes, always a pleasure. Take care, buddy. Thanks for joining us.
Appreciate it.
Well, tee it high and let it ride, folks.
All right, yeah,
put
right.
On that swing, son.
I know you've been you know this guy plays more golf than in. You know, well, good for you, Wes.
Yeah, he's earned it.
Yeah,
Pogue, it's an off-season avocation.
Yes,
get a lot of business done on the golf course,
yeah,
right, Wes?
Right.
You know,
yeah, you can. Pogue, one free round can sometimes lead to others.
Thank you, Wes. See you, man.
All right.
You know, he's so.